Shabir was the sire of 19 winners, 2 stakes winners, plus 3 more to place in stakes in his first crop to race last year. Ranked among the leading freshman sires. That's a great start, especially for a horse that didn't peak until his 4-year-old season. Among his 19 2-year-old winners, Flashy Lassie. She won the Grade 3 or won Grade 3 stakes at Churchill. Beluga Bull, undefeated 3-time stakes winner up in Canada. Blackie the Bull, broke his maiden at Santa Anita and placed in stakes at Golden Gate. Running Bull, won at Parx and then was second in the Delaware's Dover Stakes. Flashy Kid, won at Hoosier and then traveled south to place in the $200,000 Jean Lafitte Stakes. Others won at Belmont, at Santa Anita, the Fairgrounds, Aqueduct, Delaware, Calder, Churchill Downs. So Flashy Bull is selling runners. Horsemen are very aware of that fact, and that's why second crop yearlings sold for $250,000, $200,000, $190,000 just last year. Flashy Bull won the grade one Stephen Foster handicap down to the 4-year-old, and he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud for $10,000. In recent stakes, Obiston Pavra by Include won the $75,000 sleigh ride stakes at Parks. That was on January 3. A proven grade one sire Include stands for $12,500 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com. Ask about breeding incentives, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis. Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and we're at the Thoroughbred Center right on the Paris Lexington Road. It's Lexington Road if you live in Bourbon County. It's the Paris Pike if you live in Lexington. Anyway, that's where we are, and we've had a pretty busy morning this morning.
60.
Jake. 60 works.
63. According to Holly is over there calculating. Calculating kind of woman.
There you go. 63 works. That was kind of a busy morning. We had 35 yesterday, but...
I think probably had 40 after the break is the thing.
Yeah.
That was pretty busy.
It was pretty steady up before the break, before you all got here. I'm here by myself from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock, 3 hours there, so, and then I get help immediately following the break, thank goodness. It's not a one-man job, believe it or not.
Not anymore.
No, you just, it's
busier all the time.
Yeah.
It's slowed down a little now because so many people have left the state.
Yeah, some have gone south.
Yeah.
Yeah, to race and what are you doing today? Ron Pellegrini was supposed to come in with me, but he backed out just about 5 minutes ago. What a race last night. Maybe he had too much to drink.
Maybe he had too much money.
Too much money had gone to his head. we'll catch him later. Dr. Doug Byers will be here. Michael Brown, of course. We're going to get in touch with Steve Mooney. He's going to give us a winner down at the fairgrounds. Got a look at a couple of nice two-year-olds from 1958. Sarah Dancer is a good friend of mine, I used to say, Swear Dancer. And Quill, who is the champion two-year-old filly of her year. And I believe also the next year, too, as far as that goes. Swear Dancer, of course, by some girl, and Quill is by Prince Quill. I will do some Joe Palmer. And, of course, we've got Jackie's announcements.
Not many. Not anymore. Not in the winter.
Not many. Not as much. Well, last month, we ended up with 52 winners.
No, 62.
62 winners from the Fairbrook.
Two a day.
And I think I gave them all to you except the one that gave the 62nd one, which came on New Year's Eve. That's right, and we were right here doing it. We just had it through Friday, so last Saturday, Adam Crupper won a race at Turfway with Make a Toast. So that's 62 winners in 31 days. That's an average of 2 wins a day out of here. 35 of them were at Turfway, including the early on the Holiday Inaugural Stakes of John Booker. John is over at Kingman right now. But this was a horse that won that won stakes at Churchill earlier this summer, last year, I should say, and was trained right here all the way through November, and they ran that race on the 5th of December, so we claim it.
That's right.
We got all this training right here. And let's see, we've got four winners. Where in the hell's my list? cover it up here. Right in front of him. Shut up, Jackie. We've had four winners this month and 3 days of racing so far. So
that's good. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. Racing stacked up some.
On the first, January the 1st, always a turf race. That's the only place running right here right now, unless you want to ship up to Chicago.
Charlestown's running.
Yeah, Charlestown, West Virginia. That's a long haul.
Much not farther than down here.
Yeah, I was in Charlestown. Golly, this is back in the 60s I went up there.
It was a village.
It was. It wasn't much. Yeah, right. A lot of wigwams.
Yeah.
I sent some money up there to buy a ferry. And the guy bought the ferry, kept the ferry and the money. And,
I remember this. Yeah.
So I had to go up there and shake him down a little bit, threaten him a little bit.
To get the money back or the ferry?
I got the money.
Yeah,
which is fine, you know. But, you know, all it did was cost me the trip. But yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I never had no room. I was Jerry recording.
He's a steward, man. Yeah. So, you see, Tommy Bermudez won at opening day. And then last night we had three winners, John Paul Puchek, Ron Pellegrini, and Thomas Hart. John Paul Puchek won with Infallible. Ron won with Sinful State, named after him. And Thomas Short won with Honcho. And
that'll teach him.
That'll teach him. Well, we had a bunch of seconds, you know that?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, we must have had 4 or 5 seconds up there last night.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the seconds then. I should have, but people kept coming up to me today and said, well, so-and-so runs out. Either that, or there were a couple, 3 or 4 triple D's for second up there. I don't know what it
could have been, yeah.
I used to
train with a guy in the same barn who, everything ran fifth.
If he had the money,
he would always say he was fifth because he knew nobody'd look it up. And he wasn't on the board. If it was dead last in a field of 12. Fifth.
Where'd you finish fifth? Fifth. I had a friend that every time someone would win, he said, Carson, I like that horse. You want to start announcements until the two bandits show up here?
I can unless it's...
I can do it. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do my winners of stakes races last week.
All right.
That were bred in Kentucky.
Because it's almost 10 after.
Oh, well, I've got 3 minutes.
Have you really my watch?
Well, you don't really figure on schedules anyway. I mean,
yeah, right. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Okay. This is compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. My good friend David Schweitzer over there. And the Golden Marlboro Stakes was won by The Factor. Bred by H&W Thoroughbreds and raised over at Indian Creek. And The Factor was named, I guess, after O'Reilly's show.
O'Reilly's show on Fox News.
He had a bit on it the other night about that horse. And remember that?
Yeah.
So he was going to perform to win the Derby.
Yeah, he's four.
Yeah, he's a four-year-old, of course.
It's a real fan.
Ryan's really informed.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Like the rest of what he says isn't that caliber.
Well, he's suspect, isn't he? Let's see, what else have we got here? The Sir Beaufort Stakes, grade 2 at Santa Anita. Mr. Commons won that. He's by Artie Shearer, who stands over at Artie Shearer's at Windstar Farm, of course. And bred by St. George Farm. And I believe St. George Farm, I've got to meet that fella. I think that's a part of the old Kenny Farm over here on Kenny Lane, right? Dixiana, right across the road. And I'd like to get to know him. The Robert J. Frankel Stakes, grade 2 at Santa Anita. There's also a Payson Stud, that's right up the road here on the right. Bred Bubble Queen. Moving right along, the Old Hat Stakes, grade 3 down at Gulfstream Park, winner Sarah Novena, bred by Elizabeth Alexander. The Riley Allison Futurity, $100,000 pot ad at Sunland Park, was won by Isn't He Clever, bred by Monocule, and I believe that's right up here on the past Lexington Road also, on the left, it's the old what farm? What was the name? That Virginia outfit, E.P. Evans' old place. I can't remember the name of it now. I'm getting old. The Gulfstream Park Derby. Riveron won that, bid by the Cabotaba Partnership. When the hell did they get that name?
Indian name.
C-A-B-O-T-A-B-A Partnership. The Chips Are In. Chips Are In was the name of this horse. Won the Eddie Urban Stakes at Santa Anita. And Chips Are In was bid by Adina Springs. The Bill Rabbit Stakes at Santa Anita. Lady of Shamrock. That's Grovendale Sales Breeder.
That's James Keel.
My buddy James. Congratulations, James. The Colocan Queen Handicap at San Diego went to Rumor. That's an Indian Charlie. Bred by Ramona Bass, Cleveland Farm, and Adele Goldschneider. And, of course, Indian Charlie is no longer with us. Of course, he stood down at Airdrie Store. The All Lang Syne Stakes at Parks. Went to Heartbeat. I'm being nice there. B-U-T-T-E. By Dunwoody Farm. The Annabelle Stakes at Aqueduct. Nicolay, J&J Racing Stables, bred that. And let's see, the Buddy Diliberto Memorial Handicap at the Fairgrounds went to Al Montasib, bred by Robert S. Evans. And that might have been about it from the. That's it for. Of course, the stakes were a little bit light over the holidays, but. All right, Jackie, you got something you want to do, or I've got to do something first. Somebody wake me up around.
Toussaint died.
Toussaint died. Yeah. Great race, my broodmare of the year over at Jenmont Farm, of course. I think she had six graded stakes winners, four grade one stakes winners. She was a grade one stakes winner. That's, of course, Garrett O'Rourke is responsible for all those. Aren't you, Garrett? All right, then we'll move right along here, and then we'll come back. I want to say something else. Arch and Pulpit started the new year just the way we ended it. That's by signing major stakes winners. General win at St. Louis, the Barber Queen, the 404 the Arch, won the grade 2 $150,000 Robert J. Frankel Stakes. General won the Gulfstream. Sacristy, a 3-0 for the Pulpit, won the grade 3 $100,000 Old Hat Stakes, bred by Payson Stud, and sold as a yearling for $130,000. Barber Queen had placed in three straight stakes going into the Franklin, including the grade 2 Bayakoa and the grade 3 LC Ramser Stakes. Sacristy was bred by Elizabeth Alexander and sold as a yearling at Saratoga for $125,000. Brooklyn won the maiden special at Churchill Downs on November 11th, then the Old Hat in coming behind fashion. Arch saw four champions, including Burton Blaine, stands for $30,000, doing full stands and nurses. His 2011 sales yearlings averaged $116,615. Pulpit saw 10 grade 1 USA stakes winners, and Josiah Sire stands for $50,000, doing a full stands and nurses. And his 2011 sales yearlings averaged over $171,000. Inquiries of Bernie Sand at Cleburne Farm. See the website, cleburnefarm.com.
Sally Vaughan Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Vaughan Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, December 30th, Santa Anita, Groovin' Soho, a 2-year-old colt for the first crop by Bob and John, won a $56,000 maiden special to become the 18th winner from the first crop by his sire. Groovin' Soho, they had been pulled up when a rainbow in the December 11 running of the Grade 1 cash call stakes at Hollywood Park. So that's 18 2-year-old winners, including a stakes winner from Bob and John's first crop. And, like their sire, they're going to improve with maturity. Gruvencello's impressive win was at a mile. Bob and John recorded his maiden juvenile win at a mile, then went on to place in stakes, two stakes as a two-year-old, both around two turns, including the Grade 1 Hollywood for Turdy. At three, he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and the Grade 3 Sham Stakes, both at 9 furlongs. And at four, he won the Grade 3 Lone Star Park Handicap, also at 9 furlongs. He earned over $996,000. By seeking the goal out of graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, Bob and John shares the same female family as the top-sized Broadbrush and Capote, and he stands for $7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. I think that was the end of it. You guys want to sing a little bumper music there?
No, thank you.
No.
I wait for that. I'm not scared away our two listeners.
You're horrible into the
day. You don't want to fight them today.
Oh, no. Well, it's three now. Jackie just left. She'll be back.
She'll be listening to it.
She'll have to get something to eat.
A 33% to 3% increase in the ratings.
Yeah, just that quick. All she had to do is go to the car. Yeah. Michael Bourne and Doug Bach. Well, what's going on, Michael? We're going to... Doug, and you just got back from Florida.
Yeah, I went down there, and a good friend of mine, Dr. Barry David, I'll say his name on the radio so I can humiliate him, he said he asked me to be his best man. I mean, I had never been a best man at a wedding. So,
hell, all you do is stand there and hand him the ring.
Yep, and of course, Barry screwed up because the minister. No, I had the ring. I gave the ring, and then the minister said, "Where's the other ring?"
Other ring?
Yeah, you're supposed to have two rings.
You know, one for the nose.
One.
Yeah. So they don't call him Mr. Romance for nothing.
Barry had left the other ring in the house. So, his father had been a pro football player for the Detroit Lions, Jim David.
Uh-huh.
And so he had his father's championship ring. So they used that.
Oh.
As impromptu. So,
for him or the bride?
So I said to the bride, I said, "Joan, if I'm the best man, what does that say about the groom?"
Hey, it sounds like we missed a great time.
Yeah, right. It was a lot of fun, and they're coming up to. He's on the Grayson Foundation, so he's going to come up for a meeting. So they're going to spend a few days with us. He's really a funny guy.
We'll have to bring him over. He'll probably increase our ratings.
Yeah. Sounds like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We're out of contingents.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's going on here, my friend? Del Mar. You got a Del Mar jacket on there. I don't know.
It was
on one arm and Breeders' Cup Challenge on the other.
It was free.
It's very common to see.
With a commentator hat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Commentator's doing good. They ran a nice picture of him in the Herald Leader a couple weeks ago. You know, he's doing great.
That's a clocker? The clocker phone just rang.
So it's going good, but they're having the stallion auction tonight for the Thoroughbred Charities of America, and they're giving old friends an award, and they're giving Phasic Tips an award.
Oh, right.
So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, at the Thoroughbred Club.
No, at Keeneland, at the Keene Center.
Oh.
It's a big dealer, so this is, you can't squeeze all those people into the Thoroughbred Club. It's huge.
They still operate that place over off Rice Road there with the Thoroughbred Club? You know, I haven't been over in years.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I've only been invited once. I don't know what happened. But they said, "What?"
Well, they realized the mistake. Well, they found out who you were.
Yeah, exactly. I think they did.
Yeah. Well, I used to go. We got one working? Hand me a watch. How far is it going? Okay, Paul, just let me know.
And here we go. We're going to get a scientific clocking here.
Oh, right.
NASA, call me NASA.
What was your name?
I think we got two works. Well, I was working a horse this late. Tell you, somebody work these trainers.
He went, but we didn't clock him. We didn't get his name.
Oh, that guy? Oh, well.
He must have just worked.
Well, nobody told us about him.
I'm telling you, the play-by-play here, this is more exciting than the Robert Frankel race yesterday at Santa Anita.
I'll let me know when it gets close and I'll put a watch on. I got a watch on my grubby little fist and we can go from there.
So that should be a lot of fun. And Diamond Stripes arrived, a beautiful white horse, a wonderful horse we got from Sutherland Park.
Okay.
And I ran into, we went over to see Chris McCann yesterday at his school, and it was really interesting because I saw Francois over there. Francois is working for Chris now at the school, and he broke.
Remy Bellick was up here yesterday, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's Remy's buddy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They speak French. They speak behind your back. You know what I mean? In French, they say nasty things.
They speak really good. I don't
know, man. They say a few things in French and then giggle. That's how you know they're making fun of you.
Oh.
Anyway, Francois broke Ball Four, who we have at the farm, and also Diamond Stripes.
Is that right?
Yeah, you take care of them.
Well, we knew when he arrived because the van company called us.
Well, they wanted to make sure that it was okay with you.
No, it wasn't that. They wanted to know how come nobody was answering the phone over there, and we just told them, there's always somebody there. You just take the horse there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they called me twice, though. I talked to them. I talked to the nice lady there, Bob Hubbard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's...
But I'm glad they knew to call you.
Well, yeah, I just told them they didn't know what to do with the horse. I told them what they could do with it.
Not a mile. He's a fabulous horse. He's really nice, and he's a great addition to all friends.
Okay. What did he do now?
He won the Godolphin Mile.
I mean, oh, okay.
Yeah. In 2007, 2008, I forget which, he had two starts and earned over $600,000 in two starts. It's kind of like those horses you used to take care of.
You got your decimal point in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah, the $68, I forgot. But then, he started to have some problems, and he was running at Sunland Park, and he was trained by a really, really nice guy. And I called him up, and I said, look, you know, anytime you want to retire this horse, let me know, because... Well, I'm really interested in him. I remember when he was racing at the top of his game, and when he's time to retire, you know, let us know. And coming back a couple of days later and said, okay.
Yeah.
And the owner...
another mouth to feed.
Mrs. Rogers. Yeah.
That's what we do.
I do the math. I add the numbers.
He does.
But I have to say a vacancy.
This is Janet has been working very hard on retraining some of our horses, and we're fostering a few of them out, and things are working really well in that direction, too. So
good. That's very good.
I'm trying to curtail my addiction. We have over 80 on the waiting list now.
Now, you said something yesterday about they were filming a documentary over at your place.
Mm-hmm. That's why we went over to see Chris. We were trying to get Dr. Byers and Chris to say some nice things about our friends.
Something pithy.
It took so long that they run overtime. Now we got Chris to talk about Precision S and...
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Byers came. It was really nice.
Going a half mile, and he's at the 5/8 pole?
Right.
Okay, we see him.
He's so slow, he could have a lunch now.
Well, he's, lunch, yeah. he's coming up on the pole. Whose horse is this?
I don't know.
His
name is Communal.
Oh, okay. Well, tell him that I get here at 6 in the morning, I'll give him a call so they can work a little earlier. You got you.
That's like those movie people yesterday.
I'll have to hold up on the commercial.
You're here all day.
Yeah, to see how this... Let's see what he gets the first eighth in here while we're... See, I can see, got a clear view of the 3/8 pole, 13 and 2. We have to call Sally Van for this one. I can see the quarter pole right at the door. There's a little crack there at the door. I'm going to just peek through that door. There he is. He slowed down a little bit, 27. I'm talking. Call Sally's van, will you?
Yeah. They're fabulous. I love talking to them. Mike over there is a dispatcher. He's a great guy.
Okay.
I got to bring him some calendars. I haven't brought him the calendars yet. I better bring him the calendars before the calendars are expired. We're into January already. They've already lost a few days of value.
Here's my horse.
There he goes. He's pretty.
53 flat, Harley.
All right.
That's good. Now, here,
people should come over and see the races today. It's beautiful. And Beth and Barbara are there. So if they want to make a reservation, just have to call up 502-863-1775. Come on over. You can see our new horse, Diamond Stripes. He should be out in the round pen. Marquetry's doing great, recovering. I mean, I keep my fingers crossed, but everybody's doing great.
Oh. Tell them 53.
All right. Hey, we got almost $90 million in lifetime earnings now.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you got to go for 100, don't you? 100 million.
See? You're just feeding my addiction.
It's getting as big as the national debt.
Okay.
Let me take a break and we'll get Doc on. Well, first, defense is all the prerequisites to become a successful sire. He was a grade one winner. He had brilliant speed, getting 7 furlongs, 120 and 4, 121 and 2, 122 and 2 over 3 different racing surfaces. Yet he had the stamina to win stakes around 2 turns. He was by a highly successful sire in Battle Song, the sire of 93 stakes winners, including 13 grade one stakes winners. His dam, Honest Lady, is a daughter of champion sire Seattle Slough, and she's one of 4 grade one stakes winners out of grade one stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. And that mare just, she just died, you understand.
No,
yeah.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, they
no.
just hurt. And 2 of grade one stakes winners are the highly successful size Empire Maker in Chester House. First crop year earnings sold for up to $165,000 in 2011. You look long and hard to find First Defense's equal standing for 7,500 live foal. Stands at Judmont Farm, home also grade one stakes winner and grade one size Mizzen Mast. Mizzen Mast stud fee is 12,500 live foal. In 2011, his 2-year-olds that sold at auction brought up to $350,000. Inquiries to Garrett Orker, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good friend, Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And there was a little note in the Bread Horse, this just came out, that Californian Steve Marshall had bought the 125-acre Ardmore Farm near Versailles, Kentucky. And the deal was brokered by Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And who else, huh? And he's got some great places for sale. I'll tell you one place I'd love to see somebody get is right down here on the Paris Lexington Road, right on the corner of Ferguson and Lexington Road there. There's a beautiful piece of property on the left. I mean, it lays beautiful. Nothing on it. But, boy, I'm telling you, you drive by it and you turn on to Ferguson and you just drool. It's a gorgeous piece of property. Then he's got some land over next to us, too, that is for sale. And he also sold one right next to Doug Parrish's place on the corner of Greenwich and 460. So, anyway, it's Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Tom's got some great people working for him. He's got a great website. That's BiedemanBrokerage.com. So check and see what he has. If you're looking to sell your farm or you want to buy a piece of property, that's the man to go with. That's Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. We're invited to an open house at Crestwood Farm tomorrow, January the 8th, from noon till 5, registered to win a free 2012 season to a Crestwood Farm stallion. I'm going to go over there, and then I might have to buy a mare then, wouldn't I? That'd be bad. You got any mares over there?
You're going to have some hot chocolate over there, too.
Yeah, right. it's from noon till 5 o'clock tomorrow, and registered, you registered to win a free season to either Noble Causeway, No Biz Like Show Biz, Kipling, or Tis Deja Vu. And you don't have to be there to win. Just your presence is not required at the time of drawing. So Noble Causeway, of course, a grade one performer, but champion Sad John's Causeway, a super grand individual. He was a $1,150,000 sales yearling, and Noble Causeway's first crop raced at 2 last year, and he has a stakes winner plus 2 others that are placed in stakes. No Biz Like Show Biz is a grade one stakes winner of over $1,544,000. In fact, 12 of his 13 lifetime starts were in graded stakes. Kipling is a proven grade one sire, and he's a full brother to the 2011 Breeders' Cup mile winner, Court Vision, out of a half-sister to AP Indy. Tis Deja Vu won more graded stakes in North America than any other son of the great Tis now. His first foals are due this year. Once again, open house, Crestwood Farm, tomorrow, noon to 5, and a drawing for a free 2012 season to a Crestwood stallion. For more information and directions, just call this 859 number, of course, 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Run old Molly, run. Dr. Bauer, what are we talking about today? What's What's the illness of the day?
The illness of the day would be colic.
Oh, okay.
So, thought I'd kind of break that down a little bit with some emphasis on impactions because we're headed to winter time, and that's when some of those increase. And maybe try to describe the decision between sending something as a surgical colic versus a medical colic. And there are over 60 causes of colic.
Look at wisdom, Doc.
Yeah, right. Anyway, a lot of them are medical, and the tools to figure out what you're dealing with are go back to that vitals kit we have with thermometer and stethoscope and getting a heart rate, extremely important. And looking at the membrane, see what's going on. But if he just mildly colic and then he's out there digging a little bit, but he's not throwing himself to the ground, a lot of times you give him a little bit of Banamine or one of the analgesics.
10 cc's of Banamine and walk him, huh?
Yeah, and you don't walk him to the point of exhaustion, but
I'm going to walk one to the point of exhaustion? You know, everything's going to be exhausted first.
What the walking does is it stimulates their motility so that they pass gas and they do other things. That's what really is the benefit of it. And we know that stall-bound horses are more prone to colics.
Yeah.
And so, again, going back to your vitals kit, you take their temperature, and if you've got a fever, might be cramping like we went to the wrong Mexican restaurant or have some enteritis is what we say the word for it, would be colitis that's impending. Doesn't have any diarrhea yet, but it could be coming. And so you the fever changes pretty much everything for the approach you're going to take. And that means you're going to run some blood work on that one. And you take a simple colic, like an impaction colic, you probably don't need the blood work as long as the heart rate's low in the 40s and not profoundly painful, or a lot of times you give them some Banamine and they settle right down. Then they go back to it when the Banamine wears off because they still have the impaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the impactions, when they don't drink as much is when we see that. And also, so the cold snaps play a role in that. And also they eat more aggressively on the hay and the fiber because that's called heat increment. That's how they warm their body by eating. So they may have eaten a little bit more and drank a little bit less. And so then they get an impaction colic. So diagnostically, you know, a rectal examination usually will determine that, and rectal examinations always need to be done by somebody skilled. Most common place they get an impaction colic is what we call a pelvic flexure. A horse has got about 70 feet of small intestine and then about 35 feet of large intestine. And so when the veterinarian goes in there to palpate, and a lot of times the pelvic flexure is up in the pelvic canal, and he can feel this doughy, hard mass.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say the Banamine will settle them down pretty readily, but then when it wears off, they go back at it because the impaction is still there. It's not a panic situation. You tube them with lots of fluid, get fluid going through that bowel, and sometimes you put an IV catheter and run a lot of IV fluids because what happens there is that you overhydrate the horse and the intestinal lining start to secrete that fluid into the lumen or the opening of the bowel, and then that lubricates it and gets going. And you do want to walk them. You don't want to leave them in a stall. You want them to get out and move around so they can get some motility back.
Mm-hmm.
There are drugs that specifically will address that, but you've got about 3 to 5 days to fool with that impaction to get it out of there. Now, if you had a horse from Florida, I just got back from Florida, and I may have the same problem, but...
that's a little too much information.
Right. But sand is an issue, and so the way you would check for sand is you'd pick up any manure in the stall or pull some out rectally if there's any in there, and if you were the veterinarian, you had a rectal sleeve. Well, just don't throw that away. Invert it inside out with the manure in there. Put some water in there, and you can do the same thing with a plastic bag. People can as long as it's see-through. And then you melt the fingertips, so you melt the lower portion of it, and the sand will settle out. And that'll tell you right away that you got sand. So you can make a diagnosis on that.
Is that a pretty common problem in Florida?
It is. It is. And they manage it with mucilose put in the feed to keep those animals lubricated and moving through. But, it's a relatively common problem. And that's part of just good management is to make sure they're on a preventative program down in Florida. Any place has got a lot of sand, you know. But sand colics are reasonably common. If you're really good with your stethoscope, you can hear that sand grind when you're listening to the abdomen. So that's another way. And of course, you want to blow those guys out. They need to get that impaction moved through and have some diarrhea for a while. But it's not a sick diarrhea. This is a mechanical issue.
Yeah.
So those horses usually have a good prognosis. Now, if they don't pass an impaction, in, like I say, in 3 to 5 days, then you get worried about having to open them up. And some of them do get opened, but you have to do an enterotomy, which open the lining of the bowel, and you want to be very careful you don't come up with postoperative peritonitis, any spillage or leakage. Now, the other one that we get are called cecal impactions, and the cecum is the blind sac. It's kind of your appendix, but it's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's harder for them to get over a cecal impaction. Those are something you need to respect pretty cautiously. They're still medical. They're still medical unless they go on and on and on. Now, you know, surgical colics, again, they may have underlying pain, and I'll make sure that I say may because some of those horses are very stoic. They may have a piece of bowel that's trapped, like through some of the holes in the mesentery, or have something where the bowel has actually died, so they don't have much sensation. And so that's an important thing. They may, a surgical colic may reflux, and we know the horses don't vomit, but they will bring food out their nose passively. In other words, a little bit keeps coming up. And they don't actively vomit like any other animal, so they can't relieve their stomach, and that's an important issue where you pass a tube, and you don't go pumping in mineral oil or fluids until you check for reflux. So you put some suction on there and make sure there isn't any reflux. You don't want to add volume in there; it could rupture that stomach, and so that could be an issue. I think back to a very comical, serious but comical story from a great veterinarian down in Georgia, Dilmus Blackman. And there was a local gal who was known as the kind of the wacko, had a boarding stable, and she called the university, and I got in there one day, and Dilmus loading the students into the truck, and I said, well, where are you going? He says, I got to go out to so-and-so's. I'm not going to say her name. And I said, well, I'll go for you because I'm sympathetic. He says, no, we're on our way. So he goes out there, and one of the students was Tom Divers, who's my best friend. And so they get out there, and they step out of the vehicle, and Dilmus sees his horse's head's down by his knees. His ears are laying flat out like a helicopter. He's blowing like crazy, and sweat's pouring off every pore in his body, and then almost flips up his lip and just blue, purple. This is bad. This is really bad. So Mrs. So-and-so is pretty uptight about the whole scenario. He tells one of the students, well, pass a tube, see if we can reflux him and get some pressure off him. So they go to pass the tube. Well, this horse just falls over on his side, goes into spasm, and he dies.
Oh, my.
So this lady says to Dr. Pike, and she says, what did they do to my horse? What did they do to my horse? He says, ma'am, I don't rightly know, but it appears we got here 5 minutes too soon.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he was full of those. Everything that you ever got around a man, you know. One of the smartest veterinarians I've ever known in my life.
Is that right?
Yeah. Terrific. Anyway, just again, going back to colics, you know, are you in trouble or do we work with it? And that's the issue that you need to do with. And again, that vitals kit is the tool that will help you monitor that animal. So after the veterinarian's left and he says, well, you know, give me a call if it's not right. Well, you get that stethoscope and you tell him it ain't right. He had a heart rate of 40 when you were here and now it's 60.
Ah.
So.
Yeah. That'll tell you something.
Yep.
All righty. Let me take a break. Are you through?
Yeah.
That's all I ever knew.
Tell him about the derby hat when you come back.
A derby hat? Okay. All right. I got to find out about this. I also want to find out, I've asked you twice, I guess, and I've forgotten both times about who's doing this documentary, but I'll get
back.
All right. Great. All right. Well, the hare was retired late in the breeding season, produced only 6 foals in his first test crop. 3 of the 6 have started, 2 have won the third place. Gypsy Robin won her debut by 7.5 lengths in record time in a maiden special at Keeneland, then went on to win the $101,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth. Castella is a repeat allowance winner, and KU placed in his second start at the fairgrounds. Now, Daha has proven his ability to sire runners, and there are more on the way. Daha sprinted a mile in 1:33.3 to win this Grade 1 Cigar Mile, earning a 1:14 buyer, and besting champion Spinner Midnight Elude. Won the Grade 2 Jerome, a mile 1:34.1 for a 1:10 buyer. He won a maiden special and going a mile on the 16th at 1:41.4 in a top allowance race at Saratoga by some 13 lengths. And Dyer is the son of leading sire Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire Breeders' Cup Classic winner, and is a little brother, full brother to Grade 1 Stakes winner Sponge Sugar out of the Stakes winner Irish Cherry. Dyer stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to staff manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to say a little bit about our buddy Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack and Leather, which is in Bourbon County.
I was out there yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yep. You inspired me by your ads here. I just got in the car and I said, I just got to have a Quillen. I've got to go out and get a Quillen fix. So I had a long talk with Ralph.
Right. Well, you see Ralph?
Yeah.
Oh, is he hides upstairs, but I know where he
is. I know. Well, yeah. Those stairs, it's awful hard to get up and down for an old
Well, that's why he gets up there. He goes up there for that reason.
I know. I said, that's reason. I can't even hardly get up there. I'm scared to try.
Yeah, so we he's got some great keychains over there, so he sold them to us cheap, and then we can sell them for more expensive at our gift shop.
Okay.
It's called capitalism.
Is that?
Yay!
Hey, so he's making...
What are we putting on the keychain name? The horses' names?
No, old friends.
Oh, old friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
The nice leather with the brass plates on them and the ring. They're really nice.
Yeah. What is that calendar you were going to bring me?
It's right there on the wall. It's got Bernie Hedger on there. Hey, Jackie, yes. Did you see the Briar thing? The agents are sending out the Briar horses, and the Bull and the Heather Briar horse is going to be available February, first week of February.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
mm-hmm.
great.
Looks great.
How do you get one?
You can get it online. You can get it. We'll have it at our fabulous gift shop along with these fabulous Quillen keychains.
You can buy one of each.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great.
Yes, it's going to have the story of old friends on the box and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, that is neat.
That's a good
one. Ralph will have some at his gift shop, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not, he's right. Ralph's dating, he told me.
Is he really?
Yeah, good dating.
Good for him.
He said dating.
Rock
I said,
and
wow.
Roll singer?
I don't know. He's got this big beard now.
Oh, I know.
Looks like Santa Claus before he turned gray.
Yeah, I know. He's around now. He's always posting who's playing what band where.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
He's very really excited. Yeah. He's been threatening to open a pub down in Parrish.
I know, he told me, and if he does, we're going to have old friends beer there. We'll be working on that.
Ah. And they named beers after our courses. So creator, you know, be an amber, you know, chestnut kind of amber colored beer. It'll be nice.
Yeah, what's
you can make it in your favorite.
We'll have to make him
Belgian white.
A lot of foam.
Some kind of Belgian white ale, don't you?
Anyway, that's Quill and Tack and Leather. And it is a great shop.
It's a great shop. And he's making some more halters for us. And, you know, he's got a great staff over there. Thank goodness. They're the ones that have to stay downstairs and deal with people like
Wayne
me.
Wayne can do anything with leather.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good.
Yeah.
That's, let me tell you where it is. It's right in Paris, Kentucky. If you're coming in from Lexington on the Lexington-Paris Road, just go straight and go to the third stoplight and look on your left. You can't miss it. And they got a great gift shop there, too. That's Quill and Leather and Tack.
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you, I was at Quill and before Christmas, and I bought Matt Howard's little one-year-old boy a little Christmas house, and you open it up, and it had four different fuzzy little reindeer and Santa.
Nice.
And Frosty, and you press them and they play a tune. I thought, this is great. You know, this will aggravate Daddy out of his mind. So sure enough, this kid is in love with the little Frosty the Snowman. It plays for about a minute.
Yeah, Frosty the Snowman, you know.
Over and over.
Well, that's right. Is Ursula going to do his greatest hits for next Christmas for a CD?
Ursula said next year we're getting him a drum.
I love it. I think he's a cute kid.
He also should do some Christmas carols. That Frosty the Snowman is just a hint of what you can get. Call 1-800-URSULELLIS.com.
Order it now.
And I hear Arthur Hancock's going to do his backup on the
there
Christmas
you go.
Album.
That will do it. That'll do it. What a seller.
Yeah. Well, pardon me while I pass on that one. Arthur would be all right, but you'll get out of it, will you?
I saw Arthur at Windy Corner eating lunch the other day.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Arthur in a while. You know,
you got to get around more. What do you do all day?
Get around. What about, like, when you're not doing this, like the rest of the week?
You know,
get around. Go to Windy Corner. Go out to eat. Enjoy yourself.
We're at Windy Corner Thursday night at 8.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you meet anybody there?
Yeah, you very, very seldom see anybody you know in there. I mean, right there in the middle of horse country, you would think.
You got to go for lunch, I think.
Well, we've been for lunch.
Lunch, you always see people
there. We've been
there.
For breakfast. We've been for dinner.
I got to tell you. We go out once a week. Same night, same time, same place, same thing on the menu.
That's
just us. That's the way we do it.
Here you go.
Well, I took her to one night, you know, we were early getting home. We had some time, and I took her to Tractor Supply, and we looked around.
That was fun.
That's pretty good.
That was fun.
That's a date.
That's a date.
All right, remember, same thing with Diane, too. Don't get her any ideas. That's a little too adventurous, right?
All right. All right. Well, Super Silver Book is made as a 2-year-old by 7 lengths at Belmont. Then went to Kentucky to win the historic Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes in stakes record time. He was assigned 122 pounds on the experimental handicap, and his trainer, Todd Pletcher, called him his fastest 2-year-old of that year. The following spring, Super Saver returned to Churchill Downs to win the big one, the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, over Stella Field, which included the likes of Looking at Lucky, Patty O'Prado, Dublin. Retired with earnings of more than $1,889,000, Super Saver entered stud in 2011. Horsemen came to see him, liked what they saw, and he covered 145 mares in his first season at stud. Super Saver is the son of champion 2-year-old and top sire Maria's Mom, sire of 2 winners of the Kentucky Derby, and, of course, of a champion filly. And he's out of the multiple graded producer Supercharger, but a classic winner and champion sire AP Indy. It's a family loaded with graded stakes winners. Super Saver stands at Windstar Farm for $20,000 doing the full stanza nurses, with a 5% discount if you pay by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says it both ways.
I saw on the old friend's website about the Derby hat for sale.
Yes, it's gorgeous. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's made after Benberg, the Canadian Horse of the Year. And,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, Sally Steinman, who's from Cape Cod, owns Maggie May Designs, and she designs these hats. And every month she's been making a hat for us. And we put them on our eBay store and our eBay auction. And people bid on them, and they go for like $600-$700. And over the last couple of years, she has generate more than $10,000 in donations for these hats. And they're beautiful.
This one's gorgeous. I mean, some of, they're all nice.
Yes.
But this one's a standout. I don't know if it's the colors or
what. I think it's because it's a lighter. It's a different color. What's been happening is she tries to incorporate the horse's color and also their silks and their owner's colors. So what's been happening for the last few is that the owner's colors have been a little dark and the horses have been dark. So the hats have been a little dark.
Yeah.
But this one's very light and frothy and very school-like. Yeah. And she's got a tremendous response.
Good.
Yeah.
That's excellent. How long does that run?
It runs for another, I think, 3 weeks.
If somebody wanted to bid on it, would they go to eBay or Old Friends?
They can go either way. eBay, I think Old Friends gives them the link.
That's the easiest then. Okay. I just want to...
But it's a great hat, and she does a great job. One of her associates came and visited the farm a couple of weeks ago. And one person actually bought the hat, I think it was prized, the one that they named after prized, and liked it a lot, but donated it back to Old Friends. So we have that hat back. She paid like $700-some for it and then gave us the hat back. That sounds like the kind of deal we get from Dr. Byers.
Maybe it didn't fit.
I think they can manage to make it fit. But they're beautiful hats. She's a real artist. I mean, she's not just slapping a little ribbon on a piece of straw, you know what I mean? She really does think about it. They're well thought out. She tells the whole story of the horse and the connection with the hat. And she's just a remarkable artist. She really is. And we're very grateful for that.
Now, who's doing this documentary, and any idea when we can see it?
Well, Dan Ream, as we raise enough money so we can finish it. Dan Ream is doing it. He's a friend of ours. He's an artist out of Louisville. And it's being written and produced also by David Joseph and Steve. And Steve is a cinematographer. He does a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they're aiming to do, we're trying to get it done by the end, by before the Derby, so it would be available on DVD and people could order it and things like that. But it might not be. But what we're going to do is we'll have a preview of it with around a 5-minute section so people can look at it, see if it's worthwhile. And if they think it's worthwhile, they might want to, you know, donate a few dollars for it. So
Well, that sounds
good. They're doing a great job. Yeah. They're diligent. Yeah. And look at all the stars. Look at all those horses. Oh my God. It's unbelievable. Yeah. We put that diamond stripes on the horse out into the round pen. He looked over at commentator, and commentator was one of his big rivals. And it was really funny because Dick Dutro used to send out, or Tony Dutro, one of the Dutros used to send him out with a rabbit out to try and run commentator into the ground so Diamond Stripes could come from behind and win. It was really successful. But he, Diamond Stripes won the Godolphin Mile and won some nice races. He won the big race in New Jersey, won the Meadowlands Cup. Nice horse.
Another good one.
Really, really nice. Big white horse. Smart.
Very good.
Yep.
All right, my friend.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to the party tonight. People want to come. It's at the Keene Barn, right next to the Keene Library, and it'll be a lot of fun. They can get tickets from the Thoroughbred Charities of America, and we're very grateful to everybody for helping them and for helping us, and more importantly, taking care of all these horses. So.
Very good. All right, Michael.
Thanks, Russell.
Thanks, Doc.
Okay.
He's warming up the car.
He's out on the porch out there. Well, Temple City is a young graded stakes winner by Donna Farmer, out of a half-sister to Danzig, out of a half-sister by Danzig, to Marble Moon, the most successful son of AP Indy at stud. Donna Farmer, Danzig, Marble Moon, AP Indy, powerful names in the thoroughbred breeding. And Temple City lived up to his pedigree. He won his first start, going 6.5 furlongs and won 15-1. Then he won 2 allowance races at a mile, the first at San Anita, the second at Harwood Park, and won 34 flat. Moving on to Del Mar, was beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap. In subsequent stakes, he was second by a head in the Grade 2 American Handicap at Hollywood, running record time to win the Grade 3 Cougar Handicap at Del Mar, and in the final start of his career, mounted at the wrong time to finish second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup. Temple City's done, in addition to being a half-sister to Malibu Moon, as I said, is by Danzig, out of a stakes-winning daughter of Mr. Prospector's. First foals are due in 2012. He stands for $5,000, doing the full stands and nurses. Contact Ken Wilkins, Dez Dempsey, Sean Farrell, and Ned Toffee at Spencer Farm, 294-0030.
always ask about possible breeding incentives at Spendthrift Farm. The website, SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my friend Ron Wallace over with Farm Management, Inc., Farm Management, Equine Farm Management, I should say. And that is his website is equinefarmmanagement.com. And it, Ron formed his firm back way back in 1995. That's not too far back. That's about 15, 16 years ago. In 95, 17 years ago now, right?
That was yesterday. I'm sorry.
I know. But, you know, he has great experience in horse farms, and what he does is help farm owners enjoy their horse farms. He can look over your place and give you some advice on ways that would streamline your operation and make it much more easy and much to deal with. You can take a piece of land that you want to put together, right, and he's doing this with numerous horse farms. And he can get you pre-qualified and appropriate contract labor. He knows who the good people are to deal with around here. He can, you know, knows what kind of products to use, where to put the fences up and why to put them up in those certain places. He can just lay it out perfect. And I've looked at a couple of the farms, including one right up here on the Paris Pack. It's gorgeous, and you can see how it's going to work. And the services are individualized for each client. And in addition to farm design, he can oversight of farm construction and property maintenance and day-to-day and farm management. He can manage a place just as he did Chantal Claire Farm for a number of years and until they had the dispersal this spring. Best thing he does there, he'll get four or five. For instance, if he's managing four smaller places, all you have to do is pay him the fourth of which you would pay a full-time farm manager, and he'll devote just, I know in Ron, he'd give you just about as time you're going to get from a full-time farm manager anyway. And he can certainly help you along those lines. And he's done some business with some top people besides Chantal Claire and Live Oak Stud down in Florida and Hurricane Hills Farm and Summerwind Farm, Crown Colony Farm, Arundel Farm, and Applewood Farm. There are just a few of them. So get in touch with Ron. Nice guy. Let me give you his phone number. It's an 859 number, and his phone number is 621-1655. Now, if you're thinking about bidding on the lucrative Indiana bird program, take a good look at Charging Indian, a set of Indian chais standing for $1,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Stands in Rich Wine at the farm very close to Hoosier Park. In a career that was compromised by injuries, Charging Indian won his first four starts and won a maiden special at the fairgrounds. And then he won three straight allowance races at Keenan, at Oaklawn, and back again at Keenan. He could win, and he comes from a running family. Indian Charlie, of course, decided the winners of four individual Eclipse Awards. And his stud fee before his untimely death was $75,000. Charging Indian's dam is by Marketry, the sire of two Eclipse Award winners. His second dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Marilyn Dancer. His third dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Sir Arbor. How good is that? Now, for more information, go to the website, richwinestables.com. That's R-I-C-H-W-I-N-E, stallions.com, richwinestallions.com. And once again, the farm is conveniently located near Hoosier Park off of the I-69 exit 41. So go take a look at Charging Indian. You're going to like what you see. Stands for $1,000 doing the full stands and nurses.
It's okay, as long as you share.
What are the Pringles, honey mustards?
I've never had those before.
They're pretty good. Well, I see you even try to talk on the radio.
True.
That doesn't make much difference.
Why not?
Do you want to do three more of these things? And
yeah, let me say first that Stallion open house tomorrow from 12 to 5 at Crestwood Farm. They got No Bullsacks Showbiz. That's the new one. So I want to go out there and see them. And they are going to register to win free. seasons this year. Mobile Causeway, Nevis Like Showbiz, Kipling, Kiss, Deja Vu. We went last year. Good food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a picture of Kiss, Deja Vu. Look at him. Doesn't he look nice?
Lord, I clocked him many a time when he was training out here.
Yeah, but he's getting that farm look, you know, not quite as trim. So he looks real good.
Is he getting a little bay window?
Uh-huh. Like all these old stallions that get that. Anyway, I wanted to mention the Dina Springs. They're not a sponsor or anything, but they're in Bourbon County. And they're going to have a drawing for one free season to Einstein at the open house tomorrow. With the value of the stud to be donated to Race for Education, starting gate youth program at schools in Bourbon County. Those people at Dina Springs do tons of stuff for Bourbon County schools. They redid the football field for Bourbon County High School and the end zones where they, you know, when you see professional football and stuff and they have the names in the end and it's all fancy. That's what they've got, Colonels. I mean, you know, they do good, nice things. So.
There are some pretty good horses, too.
Yep, and I just wanted to mention that. Now, the 2012 Horse Farm Basketball Tournament, formerly held at Windstar, is moved because it's become such a hit that they need more parking. The only problem is it's at the United Methodist, Southern Hills United Methodist Church on Harrisburg Road, which would be a real funny place to have a bunch of these horse farm people. I mean, some of them have never seen the inside of a church in years.
Yeah, that's your language when you're
going there,
too.
Yeah, watch it. So... Anyway, they're going to have 12 teams. Windstar is still a supporter, and they're going to have a team.
Probably a bunch of ringers coming in there.
These things, it's $5 to get into the consolation game, and the finals are on like the 26th of Thursday, 26th January. It starts Sunday the 22nd, etc., and it's all for the Race for Education, and they said last year they absolutely had a blast. I know Pork and Aveen, I think they had a team. Lanford State.
What does that Eichmann know about
that? I don't know. Well, I don't know. But if you want to talk to somebody about it, get a hold of Mandy Roberts if you want your farm to have a team. Her number is 252-8648. Oh, and I'd like to give you one more. This is funny. Free gelding surgeries for horses offered at the horse park. I just think that's funny. March the 10th. They got a cartoon of the horse standing up here drawing, and he's up on his hind legs, and he's got this funny look on his face and says, "You want to do what?" But anyway, free gelding surgeries. Horse Park, March the 10th. I think you should get on the Horse Park if you've got anything that needs it.
All right. Well, Purifiers with a side 15. Let me try that again. There's that doggone pretzel you gave me. Try again. Purifiers with a side 15 stakes winners and earners of more than $5,719,000 last year. Not only that, he was the South 21 two-year winners, four women's stakes, standing for $7,500 doing the four stands and nurses. His was the lowest share in the new leaders on the general side is, and the second lowest in the new leaders on the general side is. A proven sire of grade one stakes winners, Pure Prize, great pedigree, a strong cat out of champion, holding the prize by seeking the goal, and he stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Your inspection of the Vinery Stallions is invited. And while they inquire about the services available to you at Vinery, Kentucky, at Vinery, New York, or at Vinery, Florida, you'll find world-class facilities for boarding, breeding, sales, rehabilitation, training, bloodstock services, and even offer a highly successful racing partnership program. Whatever you need in the thoroughbred industry, you'll find a solution at Vinery. You inquire to John Gasper, Grant Williamson, Steve Castanella, Francis Wellahan. See the website at vinery.com.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company, been doing business with them ever since. And by now, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they're able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hope Buy are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hope Buy Company in Paris, established in 1955 by John McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Our buddy Ed, stop by their office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Nicholasville Studios. This is Jimmy Lennox, GM Lexington. Toyota Nicholasville. Kentucky's number one Toyota dealer for a reason.
The Flashy Bill was a set of 19 winners, 2 stakes winners, plus 3 more replacement stakes in his first crop to race last year. Ranked among the leading freshman sires. That's a great start for a horse that didn't peak until his 4-year season. Among his 19 2-year winners, Flashy Rossi won the Grade 3 stakes at Churchill. Beluga Bill was an undefeated 3-time stakes winner in Canada. Back in the Bill, Bookies made at San Anita, then placed in stakes at Golden Gate. Running Bull won at Parks, and then went second in the Delaware's Dover Stakes. Flashy Kid won at Hoosier, then traveled south to place in the $200,000 Jean Lafitte Stakes. Others won at Belmont, San Anita, the Fairgrounds, Aqueduct, Delaware, Calder, Churchill Downs. Flashy Bull is selling winners. Horsemen are aware of that fact. That's why a second crop yearling sold for $250,000, $200,000, $190,000 last year. Flashy Bull and the Grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill as a 4-year-old. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie's dead for $10,000 a foal. In recent stakes, Augustine Parker, by including, won the $75,000 slow ride stakes at Parks on January 3. A proven grade one sire includes stands for $12,500 live full. See the website at herbistud.com and ask about breeding incentives. And remember, the herbist islands are your key to racing profit. Starting the second hour of Horse Tales. Jackie's getting me a cough drop. Whoops, she just spilled them all over the floor. I don't want the ones that are on the dirty floor.
All right.
No, they're wrapped in paper, aren't they?
what is it?
What do you mean, what is it?
5-second rule? Is it a 5-second rule?
Yeah. Well, it's all right.
Get them up in 5 seconds. There's no germs can possibly attach.
All right.
I wanted to mention a friend of ours has got hurt.
Yeah, Bonnie Castaneda.
Yeah. About a week and 2 days?
She got hurt last weekend, and a horse went down with her at Body Rides Races, and a horse went down with her at Turfway Park.
So it wasn't her fault.
Somebody got in front of her
and clipped heels.
Yeah, horse clipped heels, and the horse came over on her, and down she went. She's in serious condition in a hospital in Cincinnati. They were supposed to operate on her.
Yesterday,
maybe. I don't know if they did or not. And they were going to bring her to Cardinal Hill.
I guess Cardinal Hill. They said they were going to bring her to Lexington. Yeah. That's the logical place. That's where they go.
But she was pretty seriously injured.
She had neck injuries, back injuries. They were going to operate on her back yesterday. She was in a coma. But I think she was out of that coma in 3 or 4 days.
I think so. And they induced it for a while, too. But
yeah. And she can move all extremities, which is good news.
I guess Bonnie has been riding a minimum of 20 years. And she didn't ride a lot of horses, but she's been riding steadily. Uh-huh. And
nice girl.
She and her husband, Marco, train out here, and she rides some for him. And she wins races.
Yeah.
And, she's a member of the family out here.
Right.
So
keep her in your thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. And we just wanted everybody to know that we're and
trying to keep up with her.
Anybody sees her here that we're all thinking of her out here at the Thoroughbred Center.
Yeah. All right. Open house at Ashford Stud, hot food. All you homeless. It's not for you. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We all may be there soon. Ashford's having their open house Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Hot food and gorgeous animals to.
That's a gorgeous farm, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And of course, they've got the leading sire 2-year-olds down there. Scat Daddy was leading freshman sire. And, of course, Giants Causeway was leading sire for the third year in a row. So.
That's not shabby.
Oh, no, they've got some really nice stallions, nice young stallions down there, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
His First Defense down there.
No, he's a Judmont.
He's a Judmont. Like him, too. Okay. Ah, let's see. The Thoroughbred Horse Show Association is going to have a show April 14th, 15th. It'll be here sooner than you think. This is an alliance formed to show the potential and the athletic ability of thoroughbreds in their second careers. So they want to give them some show experience. They're going to have them all levels, including, you know, baby time kind of stuff. They could use sponsors, or if you want to be a competitor or any way you want to participate, contact Jan Roll, 421-8710, or Jan at tbhorseshow.org. I think you can also get to this through the NTRA.
Okay.
I think that's an idea.
Oh, before I forget, Jackie.
What?
I was that gray horse that you were interested in, and I won't name the trainer. I'll keep the trainer's name anonymous. But that horse worked today, and the trainer was here, and he worked him in company, and he got beat 5 or 6 lengths.
Ooh.
And he says, "You tell Jackie she's still in the running."
Good, good. That's a real good looking horse. Find him a real good looking home.
Yeah.
We have all sorts of contacts. I'll make an announcement. My little filly that found a home has her own 15-year-old little girl up in Michigan. It's now jumping oxers. So, take that.
What's an oxer?
It's double jump.
Oh, okay.
So you have to reach out farther. And I'm telling you what, she sent me a video. And, I mean, that filly took off. She could have jumped 3 oxers. She took off so far. She saw it. This is new. And they have to take off sooner because they're jumping farther. High, same height.
Yeah.
But a couple of feet longer. And she took off. She saw it, boy. She looked at that thing. You know,
great.
Looks could kill. That jump had been down. But she took off this big. It was funny.
Yeah.
So she's doing real well, too. So we always follow the ones we find homes for.
Well, Arch and Pulpit started the new year just the way they ended it, by signing major stakes winners. January 1 at Santa Anita, Bauble Queen, a 4-year-old filly by Arch, won the grade $250,000 Robert J. Frankel Stakes. January 1 at Gulfstream, Sacristy, a 3-year-old filly by Pulpit, won the grade $300,000 Old Hat Stakes. Bred by Pace and Stud and sold as a yearling for $130,000, Bauble Queen has placed in 3 straight stakes going into the Frankel, including the Grade 2 Bayacore and the Grade 3 Harold C. Ramser Stakes. Sacristy was bred by Elizabeth Alexander, sold as a yearling at Saratoga for $125,000, broke her maiden in a maiden special at Churchill on November 11. Then she won the Old Hat, came behind to win that one. Arch, sire of 4 champions, including the Brilliant Blame, stands for $30,000, 2 in a full stands of nurses. His 2011 sales yearlings averaged over $116,000. Pulpit, sire of 10, Grade 1 USA Stakes winners, and a sire stands for $50,000 due in a full stands of nurses. And his 2011 sales yearlings averaged over $171,000. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm. And see the website, claibornefarm.com. Well, the list of superior runners raised and sold by Indian Creek is long and impressive. It's a list which includes 6 champions and more recently the brilliant colt, The Factor. Winner on December 26th. Of the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes at Santa Anita. The Factor sprinted 7 furlongs and won 19-4 to take the Malibu. That was his second Grade 1 win. He said it also set a new track record at Santa Anita as a 2-year-old going 6 furlongs and won 06-4. That said, look to the Indian Creek consignments at the Keeneland January sale. First on Tuesday, January the 10th, in Barn 12. They're offering 3 well-bred racing or breeding prospects. 2 have already won stakes and the 3rd stakes place. They're offering a stakes place half sister to a millionaire and 4 to Broken Vow. Then there's a 2-year-old filly racing prospect that's a half sister to a graded stakes winner, plus a yearling colt by champion Sire Kitten's Joy out of a stakes winner, and a filly by Artie Schiller, sire of yet another graded stakes winner just the other day. That's a half sister to a multiple graded stakes winner. A strong consignment, a typical Indian Creek consignment. And to ensure your purchases, contact one of the world's most respected agencies, the Clay Ward Agency in Paris. Just dial 859-987-1861. Ask for Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hesse and Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. Boy, that's a winning combination. Well, New Year's Eve at Gulfstream, the grade $300,000 Mr. Prospector Stakes was won by A Priority, a four-year-old colt by Grand Slam. And that same day at Aqueduct and at Santa Anita, Scat Daddy was represented by two-year-old stakes winners. A Priority, second this year in the grade 1 Carter and the grade 2 Churchill Downs Handicaps, is Grand Slam's 14th 2011 stakes winner. And with earnings over $6,575,000, Grand Slam ranks 17th on the 2011 sire list. Grand Slam has sired the winners of 70 graded stakes. He stands for $12,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Ashford Stud. Scat Daddy's New Year's Eve stakes winners were Lady Shamrock in the Blue Norther stakes at Santa Anita and Swag Daddy in the Restrainer stakes at Aqueduct. Lady of Shamrock ran a mile in 1:34.1 to take the Blue Norther, and the Restrainer was Skag Daddy's second straight stakes win. According to statistics published by the Thoroughbred Times, Scat Daddy was the nation's leading freshman sire, the leading freshman sire of two-year winners with 29, and the leading freshman sire of stakes winners with 5. Multiple grade 1 stakes winner Scat Daddy stands for $17,500 doing the full stands of nurses. And like Grand Slam, he stands at Kumo's Ashford Stud. Now, there's an open house over at Ashford Stud Monday through Thursday from 11 till 3. Hot food is available, and go over and take a look at all those grand stallions over there, including Scat Daddy and Grand Slam. And remember, leading sires and potential leading sires only at Coolmore. Jackie?
Okay, I'm going to make one more mention. January 14th, MSADA, Massage Venting and Dressage Association, is having their gala out here at Spindletop. If you're interested in going, you need to, call up and talk your way in at this point. They may be sold out. Go to msada.org. Now, Horse Park, new hours through winter, Wednesday through Saturday. Wednesday through Sundays, they're closed. That would be Monday and Tuesday. They're closed through March 14th.
They're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Open. The rest of the time.
The rest of the time.
That's a better way to say it, isn't it? And, of course, tickets to the Horse Blockbuster Exhibition, if you're interested, 259-4200. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, still looking for a good used driving cart. And, Thoroughbred Charities of America. Is that tonight or tomorrow night, did Michael say?
I think it's tonight.
I think it is, too. Yeah, at 6:30. So that means the stallion season telephone auction ended yesterday, but they're going to go to live auctions tonight. It's out at the Keeneland Entertainment Center at 6:30. War Horse Books, they're using for Kentucky schools as part of the Kentucky Horse Park Expanded Literacy Program. They get little kids from all over central Kentucky, and they give them a book, and they get to see live horses and pet the ponies and stuff, and it really is a great encouragement. They used the Black Stallion for quite a while, and now they're using the War Horse. That book was written about 5 years ago, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't either. And then they, did the movie, and the movie is just terrific. Masterson Indoor Arena is open Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Use 15 an hour or 25 for two or more riders. Payment at the door. You need to call Georgia. Everybody knows Georgia. If you've got anything to do with Masterson, 253-0328. Once again, Sally Van's a great place to have your trailer worked on if you need it. And Shaker Village is selling year-long passes. It's $10 to ride, but it's only $10 a month for a pass. If you buy it now, or toward the end of the month, it's $110, and then it becomes the next month $100, and so on. It's absolutely a fantastic place. I mean, you can't pick a better place to ride. And, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
Well, we're out here at the Thoroughbred Training Center, and you know they're working the track. You can a lot of times tell what kind of a track you got when you watch them work it. If the tractors go along and bounce, that's not good. Because it's, you know, it's kind of ridgy and stuff. And these tractors are going by here, and they never make a bobble. It's as smooth and well worked.
They keep this track level. Harold Reed, who's the track man, he levels it at least once a week.
Yes, wonderful.
And we haven't lost any days. We lost one day last winter. So far, we haven't lost any days other than Christmas. They just closed it down on Christmas. And that's the only day it's closed. But it's a great racetrack. It really is.
It really is.
A lot of winners, like I said, we had 62 winners out of here during the month of December, and including the holiday inaugural stakes down at Turfway. And we had we've had four winners this month and 3 days of racing, and three of them last night, as a matter of fact. So
that's great. Well, and they've got this facility over here, this nice big building for, you know, you could have. They have a funeral over here one time. Didn't we come to a funeral?
I don't think so. We came over here to a wedding.
Yeah, they do weddings and divorce celebrations and.
Yeah.
Whatever they call that, Cinco de Mayo.
Divorce celebrations.
Yeah, it's called Funeral Last. But they're nice people to work with. Yeah. And if you're looking for a place, you can start now planning for spring and summer weddings. Yeah. You need to call 293-1853.
I'll tell you what else is available out here for the horses is a swimming pool facility here.
Yeah, that's good.
That Tracy Young and his mother operate over here. And you know, they get a whole lot of business. People bring yearlings in here, getting them ready for the September sales and swim them.
Oh, that's interesting.
They get a lot of farms come in here and swim.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Well, and their turnout paddocks, too.
Turnout paddocks and their grass gallops and two racetracks. And, you know, this is
it's a great place.
I'll tell you what's the best about this place. You get around a lot of racetracks and it's kind of cutthroat. But it's almost like a family thing out here. Everybody seems to get along.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, of course you'll have a little squabble every now and then, but I used to fight with my sister. So, you know.
She taught him a thing or two.
Yeah. Used to beat the hell out of him. She was 5 years older than me.
He was a good man.
Deservedly so, too, I might add. The brat I was. But it's fun out here. It really is.
Yeah, it's great.
People come over to Clocker Stand and it's...
Hang out.
And it's nice, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, First Defense has all the prerequisites to be a top side. He was a Grade 1 stakes winner. He had brilliant speed, getting 7 furlongs of 120 and 4, 121 and 2, 122 and 2. That done over 3 different racing surfaces. And he had the stamina to win stakes going around 2 turns. He's by our highest successful sire, Unbridled Song, the sire of 93 stakes winners, 13 Grade 1 stakes winners. His dam, Honest Lady, is a daughter of the champion sire, Seattle Slew, and she's one of 4 Grade 1 stakes winners out of Grade 1 stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year, Trussard. And 2 of those Grade 1 stakes winners are the highly successful sires, Empire Maker and Chester House. First Crop Yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $165,000 last year. So you're going to look hard and find First Defense is equal, standing for 7,500 I-4. He stands at Jedmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. The Mizzen Mass stud fee is $12,500 I-4. In 2011, his 2 that sold at auction brought up to $350,000. And of course, you go to look around try and see the website at Jedmont.com. On January 1 at San Nino, the Grade 2 Robert J. Frankel Stakes was won by Babel Queen, bred by Payson Stud. On that same day, on the same card, as a matter of fact, the Kalukan Queen Stakes went to Rumor, bred by Stonerside Stables, Marilla Park, and Dr. Miller's Walter Zinn.
Nice way to start the new year. Congratulations from McCullough Brothers. And 2011 ended on a high note when Chips All In, a two-year-old bird by Adina Springs, won the December 31 running over Eddie Logan Stakes, also at Santa Anita. Adina Springs has won multiple Eclipse Awards as leading owner and leading breeder. And during 2011, McCullough Associates raised the winners of 110 graded stakes and 24 individual Grade 1 stakes winners. Now, that's a record to be proud of. And a graded stakes win on January 1 bodes well for 2012. So join the winning team. Just call Doyle Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You know, you're always welcome. McCullough Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. I want to talk about my friend Jim Fitzgerald, not Griffin Farm. You think you're fox hunting today, Jackie? Jim would be fox hunting today?
Maybe? I would hope.
You would hope? Beautiful day for it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. No wind.
Where are we hunting today? Down at...
I think Mr. Hicks. They got three or four territories down there.
Oh, do they?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, Jim wears one of those red coats and gets out there and jumps over things.
Master of the hounds.
Master of the hounds. Well, he's a good horse. He's a top horseman, that's why. You know, well learned under the best, Michael Osmond and John Williams and Lou Eaton. And you associate with him. Keep yourself in that kind of company. Something good's going to rub off, and sure did on Jim. He's raised a lot of nice horses out there at Nog Griffin Farm. Does it right. They do just about everything right out there as far as that goes. Boarding or sales prep or sales or rehab, you name it. And he's got really good farm help out there. He wouldn't have anything but the best. And he can just say, if you're in a horse business, you're not too happy, you're thinking about getting into the horse business, you'd like some good, sound, common sense advice, well, somebody you can trust, and that's Jim Fitzgerald. He owns Not Griffin Farm. Owns two farms, Not Griffin and Harper's Island. They're real close to each other, one in Bourbon County down there. And he can really help you down there at Not Griffin Farm. Here's his phone number. That's an 859 number. It's a Bourbon County number. He's a good neighbor of ours. 987-8032. And it's notgriffinfarm.com. K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N farm.com. Jim Fitzgerald.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
All right, what book are you talking about, Jackie? Oh, okay. Some political book she's reading. I'm going to talk about sword dancing now. You know, we've been reviewing 1958, the best two-year-olds of 1958. First Landing topped the experimental with 128, we talked about him. Ranked second with 126 pounds was Tommy Lee. We've talked about him. We talked about the dancing intensely with co-weights of 123. And then you drop down to 122, and you get the horse I'm going to talk about now, and that is Sail Dancer. Here is a chestnut by Sunbow out of Highland Fling by By Jiminy. By Jiminy, in case you didn't remember, it was by Fairmont II. It was champion three-year-old of his year. And Sword Dancer was bred by Brookmead Stable, trained by Elliot Birch. Now, way back in 1936, fellow in the Hugh Fontaine, bidding for Brookmead, went to $6,200 to buy a young filled by Royal Minstrel from Samuel Day Riddle. This filly was out of the good stakes winner Fry's Cars, who was by Man of War. Now, Fry's Cars was a full sister to Rorak. Matter of fact, she was a full sister to four stakes winners, all of them by Man of War. And, of course, Rorak was a very good sire. They named the filly Swing Time, and she didn't win. She ran eight times, and she placed, but she failed to win. But there's a broodmare she produced over Allison, who won the Demoiselle Stakes, and the unraced Highland Flame. Of Highland Fling, the fall of 1950. Meanwhile, during this time, Brookmead, for $3,000, bought a chestnut colt by Sun Again, out of Roseanne, a daughter of the English Oaks winner Rose Drop, and a half sister to the Derby and Guinness winner Gainsborough. And that was Sun Glow. He
Sungrove won the Widener Handicap. He won the Chesapeake Stakes. Then he went to stud at Mule Ridge Farm. Sungrove was bred to a few mares in 1954. And 1955 was his first full season at stud. And in 1956, Highland Fling produced a smallest chestnut colt, and that was Sword Dancer. Now, Sword Dancer never grew beyond 15.2 and 925 pounds. He was real small, but he was a nice horse to get along with and a very game horse race horse. And incidentally, back in the following year, 1957, before Sword Dancer got really good, Brookmead sold Highland Fling Baron for $2,000 at the King of November sale. A fellow named Philip Godfrey was from New York, bought her. Well, they go too quick, didn't they? Well, Sword Dancer, first race came on February the 28th. It was 2-year-old in Hialeah going 3/8 of a mile. He ran out of money. Next start was on June the 10th at Belmont Park down the Widener Chute. Ran 10th that day. 13 days later, down the Widener Chute, he finished 6th. Getting closer, wasn't he? Ran 3 times in July, once at Belmont and twice at Delaware, and he failed to win, but he got closer those times too. Then on August the 15th at Saratoga, he finished 2nd, got beat a length and a half by a horse named Landing. And 8 days later, in his first start, at going as far as 6 rounds, he won. Now, early in September, Eddie Bird sent Sword Dancer to Atlantic City for the World's Playground Stakes. He went off at 82-1. He closed with a rush and finished 4th. Got beat by Demobilize, who was by intent. Intentionally, he was also by intent. And Pin Bolero. I'm trying to think who Pin Bolero was by, and I think it's a little too early to be by Bolero. Can't think of that one. Then he sent Sword Dancer back to Belmont on September the 27th. He ran 3rd to a horse named Horse Away, going 7 furlongs. October the 7th, he won, going 7/8 of a mile, beating Sir Saranga. Sent him up to Suffolk Downs for the Miles Standish Stakes, going a mile and 70 yards. Went off at 13-1 in a field of 14. Came from way out of it, and he beat Atal by 4.5 lengths with Open View 3rd. Atal was by a horse named Fletching the 2nd. In the Garden State Stakes, he met 12 of the best top-ranked colts in the land and ran 3rd. Got beat by First Landing and by Tommy Lee. First Landing, of course, by Turn 2 and Tommy Lee, a son of Two Dimensionals. And his last start as a 2-year-old was in the Remsen Stakes, and he ran 4th in that. He got beat by Atal, by Derek, who was by Oil Capital, Enrico Tezio, who I'm pretty sure I think he was by Royal Charger. Anyway, Sungrove, standing out at Millwood Farm. He sized 6 stakes winners is all. Of course, Sword Dancer was pounds the best of them. A couple of others went to studs of Irish Sun. Irish Sun won the Lafayette Stakes out here at Keeneland. He sized Sunshine Nail, who won the Top Flight. Sired a horse named Mr. Turf, who was, if I'm not mistaken, owned by the same guy that owned Count Turf. He saw Moore Son, who won the Saratoga Special and U.S. Hotel Stakes, and a couple of other stakes races. I guess that was his best son. Did pretty good as a broodmare sire, though. He was a broodmare sire politely. He was a top race mare. Dewan, a son of Bill Runner, who stood over at Domino Stud when Jimmy Dryman had out there, headed out there. Jimmy syndicated Dewan. He also syndicated Alitab, No Double, and Gordon the 2nd. He had all 4 of those horses over there. No Double couldn't get people to breed to him, and then he went to Florida and went to stud down there and topped the sire list. So Jimmy was right. I'm sure Jimmy's up there smiling now. Says, I told you so. But what a great guy he was. I just loved Jimmy Dryman. He was just one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. And did a lot of business with Jimmy. He even let me train a couple of horses for him. You remember those, Jackie? All out of the same mare. No, one of them was out of a Round Table mare.
Yeah, he had a Round Table mare that he was going to be his blue hen.
Yeah, and she had a...
She had a distinct problem with breeding, with reproduction.
Yeah.
We got one out of her.
Yeah.
Had to open the shed early.
And she was 19 or something when we got that one out.
Uh-huh. You know, she had a... Her cervix was crooked as...
Something was wrong.
Oh, yeah, she had a lot of scar tissue and stuff, but...
But the first
Rachel year, Pemstein got her in full, by golly.
Yeah, now this was... All about the 1st of February.
Yeah, the sheds weren't open.
Yeah, and Jimmy was down in... He had an island down in the...
A house on an island.
A house on an island. Well, you know, it wasn't much bigger than this Crocker stand, the island, you know. It was the only house on it, Jackie.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, we called down there and said, Jimmy, we got to breed this mare now. And he said, well, the shed's not even open. I said, well, over it. This may be our only shot.
That was it.
And we took her over and they all fussed and cussed and carried on. By golly, she got in full.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a son of Gridon that was standing over there.
I thought it was the son of Dewan.
No, it wasn't by Dewan. It was either Gridon or Swing to Dawn.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Should have sent her to Gridon.
Yeah, well, yeah, should have, but... Well, anyway, that thing won races for him. Jimmy sold it. And
yeah.
It got a pretty good price for it. But, well, anyway.
Silver Setting was that mare's name.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. But Jimmy.
Sally Dryman named her.
Named her Silver Setting?
Uh-huh, because yeah. She was gray.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Sid Darren was retired late in the breeding season, produced only 6 foals in his first test crop, 3 started, 2 of 1. Third is place. Gypsy Robin won her debut by 7.5 lengths in record time in a maiden special at Keenan, and then went on to win the $101,000 Ferrari Stakes at Mama. Castell is a repeat allowance winner. Kalu placed in his second start, that was at the fairgrounds. DeHare has proven his ability to sell runners, and there are more on the way. DeHare sprinted a mile in 1:33.3 to win the Grade 1 sit-out mile. Got a 1:14 bow that day, and found out mistaken it was the second best bow of the year. Only Curran did better. And he beat champion sprinter Midnight Leap that day. He also won the Grade 2 Jerome, going a mile in 1:34.1 with a 1:10 bow. He won a maiden special at Belmont, going a mile in the 16th, 1:41.4, and he won a top allowance race at Saratoga by over 14 lengths. DeHare is the son of the leading Sal Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to Sal Breeders' Cup Classic winner. He's a full brother to Grade 1 Stakes winner Spun Sugar, out of the Stakes winner Irish Cherry. DeHare stands for $7,500 IFO, stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to staff manager Ken Barnes and see the website at Shadwell Farm. .com.
The American
Well, the reigning first crop winning sale sire in 2011 was Colonel John. He was the sire of 10 readings that sold for an average of over $105,000. Colonel John stands for $15,000, doing the full stands and nurses with a 5% discount if the fee is paid by November 1. Colonel John is one of 7 Grade 1 stakes winners by Hall of Fame champion Tisnow. He won the Grade 1 Travers. He won the Grade 1 San Diego Derby. He won the Grade 3 Sham Stakes as a 3-year-old after winning the Real Quad Stakes and finished 2nd in Grade 1 Stakes at 2. Came back at 4 to win the Wicker Stakes, putting him out in 1:32.3. And he went 2nd in the Grade 1 Goodwill. He was a Grade 1 performer of 2, 3, and 4 for earnings of over $1,779,000. Colonel John was bred to 135 mares in 2010, 128 in 2011, and believe me, if they run as good as they look, they're going to come out running. Your inspection is invited at Windstar Farm. Just contact Jerry Duffy and Jenny Barnett at 873-1717 and check the website for more information. That's windstarfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, have tears running
all
time.
All righty. Well, talking to Steve Moody. Who is with Bliss, Birdstock Research Information Services, and Steve's going to give us a winner down at the fairgrounds today. Bird Man did a winner. Steve, I haven't talked to you since the Louisville game, have I?
No, I was just on just last week, yeah.
Yeah, that was a painful game to watch, wasn't it?
That's putting it mildly, so it was by, it was probably the most unsatisfying win over Louisville that I've ever seen. I mean, it was just a miserable excuse for a game.
Yeah, but they won.
Eight field goals made in the first half, and a whopping 9 field goals in the second half.
Yeah, and the rest was all free throws.
Yeah, just pathetic.
Yeah, well. But they won. And,
but like I said, it was an ugly win, but I guess that's but that's the only thing you can...
Well,
that's all good you can say about it.
I never had an ugly win in an ugly loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with Louisville.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But what's going on down at the Fairgrounds today? Give us a winner.
Fairgrounds, ninth race today is the Dixie Polk Race.
All right.
1 mile on the turf, 4-year-olds and up, and field of 10. It's fast and firm down there. I just looked a second ago. And so should be in good shape there. There is one scratch, the 9-horse Congo Cat, who was an outsider, 30-1 scratch. But so we have a field of 9. And pretty good, pretty well-matched group. There's 4 or 5, I think you could... take a look at. I finally settled on the 1-horse, 6-1 in the morning line. Morris Nix has got him. Horse named Black and Tans at Larry's. And he's been on the grass 4 times, and he's got 3 wins in a second. So he's never been worse than second on the grass, and he's a colt. He's by Bombs. And figures to get a pretty good trip from the rail in there. He likes to settle just off the pace, and I think he'll be in a good spot when they round and turn for home, and can take over in the stretch and get the job done. The 6-horse String King, another one with tactical speed. He won the Louisiana Turf Stakes in his last start, and I think he's got a decent shot in here. The only sort of negative about him is he's picking up 9 pounds today. He won with 115-pound impost in the Louisiana Turf, and he's got a run with 124 today. So... Pretty big jump up there for him. The 2-horse, Wild Rye, has got the leading rider, Anna Napovnik, aboard. He's more of a dedicated closer. He'll be coming from further back, but I do think he will be running at the end. He'll be in the thick of it, but like I said, again, a well-matched group. I've got 3 decent prices here, 6-1, 6-1, and 9-2. So, like I said, we're going to go with Black and Tans at Larry's. 3 wins and 4 tries on the turf. He's the one. We're 1-6-2 in the Dixie Polk Race.
All right. Okay. Well, it's getting back to basketball. It's 4 o'clock today, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they're playing in Lexington or Louisville?
It's Lexington. They Louisville with the Tuesday night.
Okay. That's what I thought, yeah. Yeah, that was another bad game to watch.
Another snoozer.
Well, the Louisville game wasn't a snoozer. Yeah, that kept you on the edge. You kept, well, maybe the next one would go in. But, you know.
Maybe the sun will come up in the east.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like it has to, but you begin to wonder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Steve. Of course, it's been Steve Moody with the... Where can we buy that fairground sheet? Out at Kenan?
There's only a couple of places, local places here, Ursula. Out at the newsstand, as far as if you want a hard copy, you know, in town, out at the newsstand out there on New Circle. I think should the Shell station out at out there at Newtown and 64. And I think that's it. You can go over to the office if you want to. If you want one over there, they'll have them.
Well, we can get them off the internet.
Corporate drive, but yeah, the internet's the easiest.
The
easiest way to go get it off the internet.
That is
Brisnet.com.
Brisnet.com. That's the place to go. All right, Dave. Thank you so much, and I'll go hop the farm and get my money today. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Talk to you next week. All righty. Well, let me see what I can do near. I got how much time? I got enough time to talk about the champion two-year-old filly in 1958, which is a filly named Quill. Later on, when more stakes, we'll be talking about her when it comes to 1959, as far as that goes. Quill was... By Prince Quill had a quick touch by Camp Fleet, bred home by Reginald Webster, who was from New York. Had some businesses, manufacturing business up in New York and New Jersey. And Lucien Warren trained Quill. Of course, Lucien gained notoriety by training Secretariat. She was Quill was assigned 117 pounds, top weight on the free handicap. 2 pounds below Dark Vintage, filled by Wine List, and Wine List, if I'm not mistaken, was by Questionnaire, and Kaluda, who was by Caleb. Let's see, the fourth high rate was Rich Tradition, filled by Rosemont, with 113, then 112, Addie Bell, and Tulane. Tulane was by Hill Prince. Addie Bell was by Charlie McAdam. Mary Hill by Hill Prince was signed 111, and you had four in with 110. Coble, who was by Cochise. Cochise, I think, stood in New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. Stood up there with a horse named Greek Song. And I'm trying to think of the name of that. In my mind, it was Brandywine Farm. I believe it was. And I can't remember what Cochise was by. I do remember it was Gray. But you know, once I live in Kentucky, I forget about him. So, basically, not intentionally, I just do it. Well, anyway, Mama Day was also with 110, was by Polynesian, our Nash ruler, by Nash ruler. Rosaka, who was a filly by Middle Ground, a race for King Ranch. And then Shirley Jones, who also developed into a high-class handicap mare. Shirley Jones was by Double J. Well, back in 1949, July, Big Zach Green Tree Stable dropped Quick Touch, the Dana Quill, in the $5,000 claiming race, and she was claimed by Mr. Webster. Quick Touch was by Camp Fleet out of 20 Grand's half-sister, a man named Alms, who had won the Pinnacle Oaks herself. A Quick Touch had been tried in some top-class company by Green Tree without success. She raced for Webster. She moved up to high-class claiming races, and they started her in a couple states later in her career, but she never won a place in the stakes. She was a decent race filly, though. Quick Touch's first three foals were Sorceress, a daughter of Sly Rule. Sorceress won the Paul Drummond Stakes. Viscount, who was by Case Ace, it was a gilding, and Caplet, who was a daughter of Bolero, and she won the Frisette Stakes, and Quill was her fourth foal. So this mare was a great great producer. Quill was foaled over at Dr. Horace Day and Davis's Bluegrass Heights farm over on the old Frankfort Pike, and she made her first child on July 11th at Jamaica. She hadn't showed anything in the works. She was ridden by a 7 years jockey named James. I have to spell his name out. R-A-I-A. How would you pronounce that? Raya? James Raya. I never heard of him. But that's who wrote him. And
I guess either Lucian didn't, Lauren didn't expect much out of it because she hadn't shown much in the work. I was trying to win a bet, one or the other. She won and paid $58.20. So the next race, her second start, was our Carol Roller. A little bit of difference there. And she won and made it two in a row. Sent over to Saratoga, and she lost her only two starts of the year at Saratoga. She was third in both of them. She was third in the Skyville to Rich Tradition and Lady Be Good, and third in the Spinaway to Rich Tradition and Register. Register was by Citation. She came out of the Spinaway with Buck Shins, but he got her back to start. And, of course, Saratoga's in August. On September the 5th was the next start. It's kind of a quick return for Buck Shins, but she did anyway, and she beat a nice field lounge race that day. She beat Mommy Dear, beat Recite and Rich Tradition, and seven others. Went down that straightaway Wagner sheet, 109-2, and Paul J. Berry wrote her. Now, Berry was the rider for the rest of the year, as far as that goes. Let's see, that was on the 5th of September, 8 days later. She won the Matron Stakes, beating Rich Tradition and Recite. That was her first stakes win. She won before. Sent her over to Garden State for the Gardenia Trial Purse. She was a 7-10 favorite, and she won easily. She had a bit of a bad habit. She started roughing on the lead once she made it. He had to shake her up a little bit, but she won easily. And then 7 days later in the Gardenia on October the 18th, she was the second choice to that California filly, Kalita. She went right to the lead that day in the Gardenia Stakes, which was a Garden State. And she went the first quarter in 22-4, had a three-length lead on the first turn, and Billy had quarter in seventh place, about a dozen lengths back of the leader. After three quarters, she had moved to second. She was only three lengths off of Kalita. Then she went to the front at the eighth pole and won by half length over Rosaka and Ruin Zuri. Ruin Zuri rings a bell. She raced for Preston Madden, but I can't tell you what she was by Preston. I'm sorry about that. I can't remember it, but I do remember that she raced for Preston. Couldn't have been by TV Lark. He came along a little later. Well, that was Quill's last start as a two-year-old. She was being trained for the Frisette and came out of a work sore, getting ready for that Frisette. And Lucian Lauren sent her to his winter quarters, which he used to go to Holly Hill, South Carolina every winter. But we're going to be talking more about Quill next year because she turned out to be a really top-class race filly. She was a stakes producer, too, as far as that goes. Well, Temple City is a young graded stakes winner by Dinah Farmer, out of a half-sister by Danzig to Malibu Moon, the most successful son of AP Indy at stud. And Dinah Farmer, Danzig, Malibu Moon, AP Indy, powerful names in the thoroughbred breeding. And Temple City lived up to his pedigree, won his first start, going 6.5 furlongs, 115-1. Then he won two round races back-to-back, both at a mile, the first at Santa Ilia and the second at Hollywood Park. Won a mile, 134 flat in the second one. Sent him over to Del Mar. He got beat less than a length in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap. And in subsequent stakes, he was second by Head in the Grade 2 American Handicap at Hollywood Park. Won a record time to win the Grade 3 Cougar Handicap at Del Mar. And in the last start of his career, he dropped a head-bobbing photo finish in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup. Now, Temple City's dam, in addition to being a half-sister to Malibu Moon, is by Danzig, as I said. She's out of a stakes-winning daughter, Mr. Prospector, so you can add that name in on his pedigree. His first foal was due in 2012. He stands for $5,000 during the foal stands and nurses. Get in touch with Ken Wilkins at Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ned Toffee over at Spencer Farm. Number over there is 294-0030. And when you call, be sure to ask about possible breeding incentives. The word and the website over at Spendthrift is SpendthriftFarm.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you never cheat
All righty. We're wrapping it up.
Wrapping it up. Tomorrow is Stallion Open House at Crestwood Farm from 12 to 5. We went last year. It's excellent. And you get to see No Biz Like Show Business. No Biz Like Show Biz. Who is a fancy-looking duck. Well, he's a medium bay with three whites. Look at him. Flashy, isn't he? Anyway, you can register to win free seasons for this year to Noble Causeway, No Biz Like Show Biz, Kipling, and Tis Deja Vu.
All right.
More information, call 252-3770.
Yeah, you don't have to be there in order to win either when they have the drawing.
And Ashford.
You don't trust Pope over there, the fix won't be in.
Oh, well, shoot. Well, I won't go. If I win one, do we get a mayor?
No mouth to feed.
I know. Open house at Ashford Stud, Monday through next Thursday, the 12th. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., hot food available.
Yeah.
We've been to that one, too. Food is good.
Yeah, it is good.
Well, Crestwood has food, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're timing this.
I'm committing them to food. Yes, yeah. Food. Horse Park is open Wednesday through Sundays. That means it's dark Mondays and Tuesdays through March 14th. I don't know where time's going. I mean, it's incredible. They do have polo Tuesdays and Thursdays. And the weekends, toward the end of the month, there's a rodeo, and they have those mounted games on weekends. So other than that, you know, and that exhibit, the horse. We've got to go see the horse, and we've got to go see the war horse.
Yeah.
Pork and a bean, if you're out there, do call. We're going to go see the war horse.
Matinee when it's cheap.
Yeah, matinee when it's cheap, and I won't fall asleep. I'd fall asleep to anything after 9 o'clock.
That's what I do to 7 o'clock news.
I know.
Sleep right through it.
He does, every night. And then he said, well, what happened? Nothing. Masters and Indoor Riding Ring is open Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Call Georgia 253-0328. If you're interested, because they have to open it up for you, and you have to pay $15 or $25 for two or more people. Today would have been a good day to go riding at Shaker Village.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous day.
Sounds like it's going to cold up and get snowy and that kind of stuff toward the end of the week.
Next week, so it's going to end next week.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody's hit any falls yet. It's awful early, but there's always...
Well, there's somewhere around that back pasture somewhere.
It's coming up. Fall season. You see those Sally vans driving along all those back roads all the time during fall season. It's fun. But that's about all I've got.
All right, let's see. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center, trained out here at the Thoroughbred Center. We had during the month of December. We had 62 winners.
Boy, that was funny, because Ursa wanted 62, because that was two, average two a day.
And
he was sweating out that ass.
Yeah, and on the 31st, Alan Crawford won with Make a Toast up at Turfway Park.
Yeah, it was funny, because nobody won on the 30th.
No, and I said, oh, my God.
So Alan came through on the...
Yeah, we did it. That's right to do it. Yeah, and then this month, Tanya Bermudez, John Paul Puchek, Ron Pellegrini, who stood me up this year, is for this this interview, and Tommy Short, all won last night. And we'll be on next week from 9 till 11.
Oh, is that right?
Right. Next 2 weeks in a row, 9 till 11.
What are they doing, basketball?
Yeah, and I think we're out of time anyway. Mary Jane, thank you down at the studio, and Rissy, thank you here. And we'll talk to you guys next week at 9 o'clock. Tune in early. Come on over and help clock, for God's sake.
Yeah,
for
God's sake.
Who cares about the clock?